Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you broadcasts from radio's golden years. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of romance. Later on, the show Romance from 1951, but first, it's the first nighter program, an NBC episode from January 6th, 1953, called A Good Joe.
The first nighter program.
Miller. Miller.
A blend of good taste and cheer.
Miller High Life.
Miller
High Life.
Miller
High Life.
The champagne of bottled beer.
It's Miller High Life time as the Miller Brewing Company of Milwaukee brings theatergoers across the nation First Nighter. Yes, the brewers of Miller High Life, the champagne of bottled beer, invite you to fourth row center seats each week at this time for a new Broadway opening night. It's the First Nighter program, starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy. Broadway theater time, and it's time again for another exciting trip to the little theater off Times Square. Here is our host for the evening, the genial first nighter, Rye Billsbury.
Good evening. Glad you could come. My cab is waiting. Won't you step in? All right, driver, to the little theater. Uptown, past the bright lights and excited crowds of Upper Broadway. Now just around the corner is the little theater off Times Square.
Please. Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Now for a quick look at our theater program. Tonight's play is entitled A Good Joe by Floyd Miller. Our cast is headed by those brilliant stars Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule. Mr. Soule is heard as Jerry, Miss Luddy as Joan. In our all-star cast are Gerald Moore playing Brighton, Sid Miller as Bloomgarten, Paul Dubov as the critic, Bob Jellison the page, and the entire production is staged under the direction of Joseph T. Ainley.
Curtain. First curtain.
There's the signal for first curtain. The house lights are out. And here's the play.
They say a girl's face is her fortune. Well, I got a pretty face, but what's it got me? The Central Park Romeos let out wolf calls when I pass, and the truck drivers give me the slow eye when I serve up their java, but that's all.
Why would
that mean? Yeah, I'm a waitress in the 10th Avenue Hash House. And if I smile all day, show the crockery, I might make $2 in tips. Oh, they're big spenders, the bums that come into this joint.
It's chilly for this time of year.
It's always cold on the waterfront at night.
Yeah? How's the coffee?
Hot and wet.
Good enough.
Draw one.
And a piece of that apple crumb pie.
Okay. That all?
Also a few minutes of pleasant conversation.
That don't go with the blue plate special.
Then give it to me a la carte.
You want pleasant conversation? Talk to yourself.
Hey, you got spirit, too.
Besides what else?
Looks. You're a looker.
Thanks.
What are you doing in a joint like this? You should be on Broadway.
Huh?
I could put you there.
Now there's a new approach. You're going to put me on Broadway. Me and Catherine Cornell.
Yeah, I'm serious. Here, take my card in case you soften up later.
You got a business card?
Yeah.
Jerome Tishman. Jerome.
You can call me Jerry.
Okay, Jerry. If I get fired from this joint, I'll give you a buzz and you can rack me up with Gregory Peck. Well, you know how it is. Some guy says Broadway to a girl, and right away she's got footlights in her eyes. You keep telling yourself that the guy's got an angle, but all the time you want to believe so bad that you finally do. I'm quitting, Mr. Segrew. Yeah, quitting. Anything wrong with the job? No, I love the greasy hamburgers and witty conversation that clutters up this joint. I don't know how I'll get along without him. A As I headed uptown for Broadway, I held in my clammy little hand a card which read, Jerome Tishman, Tishman Amusement Corporation. I tried to keep my imagination in check, but all the time I kept giving myself arguments. After all, stars have been made overnight. I've read about it in magazines. So I headed up Broadway past Lowe's Capitol, and then I see it. The Tishman Amusement Corporation. And there's Jerome himself, standing on the sidewalk and barking.
Step right in, folks, and have your picture taken. A comic picture to send the folks back home. It'll keep them in stitches. Hey, how about you, sister?
I'm in stitches already.
Come on in. It's good for a laugh. Stick your head through that hole in the screen and be photographed as a gorilla. Or that screen over there and you become Fatima, femme fatale of the mysterious East. 25 cents for a souvenir of Broadway.
I already got a souvenir of Broadway. Your business card.
Yeah? Where did you get... Oh, now I remember you.
You were going to put me on Broadway. Remember that?
Sure, I remember.
You cheap four-flusher. You couldn't get me a walk-on in the Borch circuit.
I said I'd put you on Broadway, and I'll stand by my word.
What an act. And I suppose some girls fall for it.
Look, I never said I'd put you in the theater. I said I'd put you on Broadway, and I will. You can go to work for the Tishman Amusement Corporation.
You think I'm going to stand out on the sidewalk and bark?
No. You see, I'm losing a lot of the single trade. You know, hicks that come to town and want something to show the cronies back in South Bend? Now, if I painted a nightclub backdrop and I had a looker like you to pose with these guys, we'd clean up.
I think I like the smell of hamburgers better.
All you have to do is have your picture taken with the easy marks. You'll be the poor man's Betty Grable. You'll be famous.
So this is Broadway.
Look, kid, I know this ain't much, but this is just the beginning.
Yeah, of what?
How do you think Barnum got his start, or Ziegfeld?
By photographing hayseeds in front of a painted nightclub.
By giving people escape from life. The visiting fireman gets photographed with you and takes the picture home with him. After a few months, he begins to forget that he walked in off the street and stood in front of a painted drop with a stranger. Sure, he begins to believe that it was a real nightclub, that he had a rip-snorting time in a big city. Makes his life rich and gives him rocking chair memories.
You sure make it sound fancy.
This is the bottom of the ladder, kid. But we can climb up together. What do you say? Should we go after it?
What have I got to lose? Okay, Jerome.
The name is Jerry.
Okay, Jerry. I'll grab the bottom rung if you think I can reach that high.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
I'll lock you downstairs, please.
Curtain. Second. Curtain.
First nighters are hurrying down the aisles to their seats. The lights are dimmed, and here's the second act of A Good Joke.
Let me say right now that I was wrong about Mr. Jerome Tishman. He wasn't a four-flesher at all. Jerry was a sweet guy. And we did all right in the studio, too. The suckers began to pour into the place to have their pictures taken with me. Pictures they'd show around back home with a sly smile and a wink which was meant to say, Brother, you don't know half the story. And brother, they didn't. Well, anyway, Jerry and I worked pretty hard. And one Sunday night he said to me...
You tired, baby?
Kinda.
What do you say we knock off tomorrow? Let's take 24 hours away from Broadway.
Okay, Jerry, if you say so.
We'll go to Central Park and row in the lake and sit on the grass. And maybe you could pack a lunch, huh?
Sure. I think that'd be swell. Only... No hamburgers.
No hamburgers. You know you make the most elegant cheese sandwiches I ever ate?
Jerry.
Yeah, it's a fact. And this coffee.
I filled the thermos jug at the automat.
That's what I mean. You're smart.
And you're silly.
And you're pretty.
Oh, Jerry.
Joan, are you sorry you threw in with me?
Of course not. It's been a lot of fun.
And we'll go places, Joan. Because we're a team.
It's nice to be part of a team. Real nice. Hey, what's that?
Oh, I bought a reflex camera. Thought I might take pictures of the Central Park South skyline. But I think I want to take pictures of you.
Pictures of me? On your day off?
With the wind blowing your yellow hair and your eyes and nose all squinched up into the sun. Yeah. I want to take pictures of you.
It was a wonderful day, that Monday. And when I got in bed that night, I remembered Jerry's words.
We're a team. And we're going places together. We're a team.
And then I remembered a moving picture I saw where Betty Grable was part of a team. She and her partner were dancers out in the sticks, and a talent scout came along and offered her a big time if she'd leave her partner. Well, she does leave him, but it made her awful unhappy, and her success didn't mean a thing to her. Once you got a team, you just can't break it up and be happy. No, sir. If you're part of a team, you're part of a team. Period.
Joan, baby, look at this.
What is it?
The Bulldog edition of the Daily Tabloid. Open it to page 2. Go on.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you like that? A 2-column picture of Miss Joan Haywood smelling the flowers in Central Park.
But how? Why did they?
That's the picture I took of you last Monday. I sent it in.
Gee.
Think of the publicity. And if you aren't the cutest little trick I ever did see in that tabloid, then I'll eat my 8x10 in larger.
Jerry, you're silly. The picture did create a lot of attention. And a few days later, when I was in the studio alone, a big, well-dressed guy came in to see me.
Hello, Joan. How are you?
Hello. Do I know you?
Oh, not yet. Here's my card.
John Brighton, Acme Films, Hollywood, California. Acme? Acme Movies?
That's right. How would you like a screen test?
A screen test? For the movies? I mean me?
Yeah. I saw your picture in the paper a few days ago, and I've been looking for you ever since. Nah, don't tell me you can't act. We have dramatic coaches who can make a wooden Indian act. How would you like to fly to the West Coast with me next week?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's all set then. I'll wire ahead.
Oh, but just a second, Mr. Brighton. I'm part of a team.
A team?
Yeah, Jerry Tishman. He's the photographer here. Can't you use him in Hollywood?
Are you kidding? We have the most highly skilled photographers in the world. You want me to hire a Broadway pitch man?
He took that picture of me you think is so good.
Oh, now look, honey, I'm not buying that photograph. I'm buying the yellow hair and the wrinkled up nose. I'm buying you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brighton, but we're a team. We come together or not at all.
Are you crazy? Why do you tie yourself up to a Broadway mugman?
Well, he's not a mugman. He's an artist.
Oh, now look, Joan, I could understand your attitude if you and he were a dance team, but a photographer.
Well, he gave me a hand when nobody else would. He's my partner.
Well, look, honey, it's all right to be sentimental about old friends, but don't let it hold you back. Sometimes you even have to use old friends as a stepping stone to get ahead.
I'd never do that.
Do you mean to tell me that you'd give up a movie career just because of a squeeze bulb artist?
We're a team.
Well, okay, sister. Have it your way. But you're not riding tandem to Hollywood on my money. Goodbye.
Oh, no. No. I won't go. We're a team and we gotta stick together. No matter what.
And the curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Curtain.
Purse snatchers are all in their seats, ready for the last act. And there goes the curtain.
Joan, is anything wrong? You've been so quiet the last few days.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay. A guy's got a right to be in a mood every now and then. But I just wondered if it was anything I did.
No, Jerry. It's just that life kind of gets you down sometimes.
Sure, I know. But don't you worry. We're going to go places. We're a team, aren't we?
Sure, Jerry. We're a team. Then, a couple weeks later, a guy comes into the studio, and I hear him say to Jerry,
My name is Nat Bloomgarten. I'm with Super Dynamic Pictures.
Super Dynamic? Is that so?
Tishman, I'll come right to the point. I want you for Super Dynamic.
You want me?
That's right. Your still photographs of that girl there impressed me a great deal. Great deal. They got heart. That's what I want. A photographer with a heart. Look, I'll give you a 3-month option at $300 a week.
My gosh.
I'll give you 2 weeks to settle your affairs here and meet you in Hollywood on the 1st.
But, Mr. Bloomgarten, what about Joan here? She's pretty.
Listen, pretty dames come a dime a dozen in Hollywood. But good photographers, they are like hen's teeth. I'm not buying a pretty face. I'm buying a know-how with the lens.
Joan.
Yeah, Jerry?
When the big break comes along, a guy's got to be sensible.
Sure, guy's got to be sensible.
The team idea's okay so long as it works. But
sometimes...
Sometimes it doesn't work?
Yeah, that's it. The breaks don't come often in a lifetime, and when they do, well, you just got to grab them. I'm sorry about us.
It's okay, Jerry.
Joan.
Please don't pay any attention to me. Just, everything's fine. Just fine. Hello? Acme Pictures? Can I speak to Mr. Brighton, please? This is Joan Haywood. Hello, Mr. Brighton. This is... Oh, you remember me. Does that offer of a... I see, it still holds. Yeah, I can take a plane whenever you say. What happened to my partner? He dissolved the partnership.
All ready for the test, Miss Hayward. Now, you cross up center and open the door to find your ex-husband standing there. The camera will pan in for a close-up while you register amazement and then fear. Ready, Joan? All right, roll them.
Exclusive, your reporter has it on good authority that Joan Haywood's screen test is nothing short of terrific. Tomorrow, she'll be signed to a long-term contract and be put immediately before the cameras in Autumn Storm.
I've just come from a preview showing of Acme's new melodrama, Autumn Storm. Take this critic's word for it, the young star Joan Haywood will be the talk of the town when the picture opens next week. She's lovely to look at, but more than that, she has a genuineness that will charm you. I predict great scenes for Joan Haywood.
Yes, Hollywood is a fabulous place, all right. They taught me how to walk, how to talk and dress and eat, what books to read and how to decorate my home. Now I'm a big star, sitting on top of the world. What of Jerry Tishman? Well, I looked for him when I first came out here, but I never ran into him. And after a while, I decided that it was just not in the cards. This spring, I went to the races at Santa Anita. Studio publicity said I should be seen there. I sat in a front box and looked across the beautiful green paddock and thought of the time Jerry and I had the picnic in Central Park.
See Sprite to place, pick up the show. Happy Boy and Tailspin, out of the money.
Suddenly, I saw a familiar face in front of the $2 window. I ran down beneath the stands. My heart pounded with excitement as I neared him. Mr. Bloomgarten. Huh? Mr. Bloomgarten.
Look, lady, I don't take any bets at the track.
I'm Joan Haywood, remember? Where's Jerry?
Jerry?
Yes, Jerry, the photographer you hired for Super Dynamic.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, I was trying to...
Don't
help.
Apologize. Just tell me where he is.
Well, sure. His place is over on Sunset, just off Coenga. You can't miss it.
Mr. Bloomgarten was right. You couldn't miss it. There was the sign, Tishman Amusement Corporation. And there, underneath, stood Jerry.
Step right in, folks, and have your picture taken. A comic picture to send the folks back home. Put your head through the hole in the screen and be Fatima, femme fatale.
Hello, Jerry.
Well, I'll... Joan. Gee, it's swell to see you, kid.
It's nice to see you, too.
Oh, you're looking wonderful, baby. And you're doing wonderful, too, ain't you? I knew you had the stuff.
I'm doing all right. How about you, Jerry?
Me? Grade A. Would you believe it? There's more marks in Hollywood than in New York. It's a fact.
What about your job at Super Dynamic?
Well, now, I'll tell you about that. I wasn't cut out for the movies, is all. They wanted me to photograph their stable of aged ingenues through cheesecloth to make them look 20 years younger. Now, you take...
You don't have to pretend, Jerry. I know the whole story.
Oh, I see.
There never was a company called Super Dynamic. Bloomgarten was nothing but a bookie you paid to come in and pretend to hire you for the movies. You'd heard the story about my screen test, and you wanted to break up our team to set me free. Jerry.
I just did it because I wanted to travel alone for a while.
You did it for me.
So, can a guy do a favor for a pal if he wants to?
Sure, a guy can. Jerry, I'm a star now. All I have to do is say the word.
And I get a job in the movies? Mm-mm. It's no good, baby. There's something about me you don't know, John. I'm one of those guys who likes to be his own boss, to lock and unlock the door when I feel like it. And pretty soon I'll get fed up with Hollywood and I'll move on. Maybe Frisco or New Orleans or maybe even back to New York. Now, this is my speed, baby. Don't let nobody go around saying that I don't brag about having discovered Joan Haywood. Because I do. I always say to him, Joan Haywood, sure she's pretty. Sure she's a terrific actress. But the most important thing about her is that Joan Haywood is a good Joe.
Well, that's the story of Jerry. Critics and columnists have said some pretty wonderful things about me. Things that would make any girl grateful and proud. But whenever I pick up my scrapbook to read my notices, I remember the most wonderful thing ever said about me was never printed or broadcast. It came from a pitchman. A pitchman who once said, I was a good Joe.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, the premier performance of what looks like a new hit play at the Little Theater off Times Square. Next week, don't miss a gay romantic comedy, Shower for the Bridesmaid. Remember, next week, same time. Now we're moving out of the theater and into the street. There's our Miller High Life host for the evening, Vincent Pelletier.
I'll be with you in a moment, Mr. First Nighter. I just want to invite our friends and guests to be with us again next week when the Miller Brewing Company brings us another aisle seat to First Nighter. Until that time, friends, make every night and day Miller High Life time in your home. Enjoy life with Miller High Life, the genuine Milwaukee beer that's brewed and bottled for you by the Miller Brewing Company only and only in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The First Nighter program on Tuned to Yesterday from January 6th, 1953 on NBC, the second to last episode of the show to survive from radio's yesteryear. You're listening to an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, a couple of the cast members of Gunsmoke appear in this episode of romance, William Conrad and Georgia Ellis, in the play To Live Again from July 2nd, 1951 on CBS.
The Lux Radio Theater, usually heard at this time throughout the year, is taking its customary summer vacation. Lux Radio Theater will return to CBS 8 weeks from now on August 27th. Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance. Bringing you the finest stories of the world's greatest authors. Stories of the courage, the devotion, the adventure of love, all strung on the bright thread of romance. Tonight we take you to the wild mountains of Portugal, where two lovers invite terror and death in order to achieve their freedom. As Kem Bennett tells it in his exciting tale, To Live Again.
Maria was never quite like the other girls of our village. They, too, of course, were vital and alive, for such is the nature of the girls of Portugal. But Maria stood out among them, more vital and alive, more intense, and above all, more beautiful. I remember the night she came back from Lisbon. She stood there in the door of my cabin with the lamp and light falling on her face, looking tired and thin, of course, but even more lovely than on the day she left.
Joao.
Oh, here now, stop it. We'll have no crying and carrying on.
I'm not crying, Joao. But it's been such a long time.
A very long time. But now you're back. Maria, this young man standing here, is he...
I brought him here.
Then come in. Close the door.
Thank you, sir.
Joao, this is Alejo Peraza.
I am honored, sir.
Alejo Peraza, you're Spanish, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to the village, Alejo. Any friend of Maria? Here, let me put the lantern down and move these things off the cart so the two of you can sit down.
Joao, Alejo is my husband.
Your husband?
We were married in Lisbon.
Not here, in the village, where you were born, where your friends are?
Forgive me, but it was impossible, and... Oh, Joao, we're in trouble, terrible trouble. We're running from the police.
The police? But
I... Maybe I can explain, sir. You see, the police are after me. I'm wanted in Madrid for... crimes against the state.
Political?
Yes, sir. The charges are false, but in Spain today, being accused is the same as being convicted. I escaped to Lisbon, but now the Portuguese police have my description and orders for my arrest.
We've been sleeping in the fields, traveling at night, walking. You've got to help us.
Help you? How? You can't hide here. The village is too small. Everyone knows everyone else.
But we were thinking of the old mine.
The mine? Yes, a few days, perhaps. One can't live in an abandoned mine forever.
True enough, sir. But two might die in it forever.
What are you saying?
We have decided this, Joao. That whatever happens will happen to both of us. Whether we live or die, we'll live or die together.
You see, sir, running away is no answer because sooner or later the police will catch up with us. And we're not going to run any farther.
What will you do then?
Maria tells me you know every foot of the tunnels and working of the mine.
I was foreman there for 15 years before it closed.
Will you help us then?
Maria, the police are not after you. Why have you made this decision?
I love him, Joao.
I see. Very well, Aleo. I will help you. For the rest of that night, while Maria tossed restlessly on the cot, Aleo and I pored over maps of the abandoned mine. It was dawn before we found what we looked for. And even then, we couldn't be certain, not from the maps. We woke Maria. She slipped away from the village to carry out her part of the plan. And Aleo and I took the maps and went into the mine.
Well, the passage seems to end, Joao. There's a pile of loose shale here.
Good, there should be. Turn the light here. Yes, here's the mark of the contractor. This is the one.
Now, what's the distance?
10 meters, according to the map.
10 meters. It's not going to be easy, Joao.
Easy? Nobody but two desperate fools would even think of trying it.
Yes, I know. Is it far enough back from
I think so. It depends on how much they use. You can expect a strong concussion, though, unless you're already dead before then.
We won't be. Well, come on, Joao. We've got to bring food and blankets and tools to the mine. Maria should be back tomorrow afternoon.
Tell me something, Leo.
Yes.
How did you meet Maria?
How did I meet her? Well, I was in a park in Lisbon. I'd hurt my hand jumping from a train, and I was trying to wash the wound in the fountain. I looked up and saw her watching me, not saying anything, just watching. But at that moment, I fell in love with her. I think she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. The steady way her eyes look out at you and the way her hair sweeps back.
Enough of this. You'll still be mooning here by the time she gets back. Come on. I know Maria's beauty, Alejo. I've known her much longer than you have.
Oh, I'm tired. I've never been so tired. But the job is done now, and well done, I think.
How did you go about it, Maria?
Well, I left the car near Castelo Branco in a belt of trees off a side road. It's hidden, but not very well.
Good. They'll find it all right.
Then I caught a ride with an old man driving a wagon. He was very nice and asked me a lot of polite questions. And I lied to him. I think he knew I was lying.
Will he remember you later when the police inquire?
Oh, I'm sure he will. He took me as far as Castelo Branco and I caught the train to Covilha. I tried to look very tragic and mysterious while I waited on the platform. I even cried a little at the ticket window.
The agent will remember you. A girl so lovely crying, how could he forget?
Well, at any rate, it's done, and I'm back. And I'm so happy to see you, both of you.
I was frightened that you'd let the police come too close and be caught.
I didn't even see the police. Joao, how long do you think it'll take them to trace me to the village?
The trail you've given them, they should be near at least in about 2 days.
2 days? Well, it'll give us time to build a barricade here at the entrance and start to work inside. Maria and I will stay here at the tunnel from now on, Joao. We can't afford to take chances.
What madness to talk of taking chances. And what you are doing, there is no chance. I turn sick inside every time I think of it.
Joao, this is no time to talk like that. You said you'd help us.
And I will, Maria. I still think you're stupid, foolish, both of you. I think you're throwing away your lives without reason or sense.
What would you have us do, Joao?
Go to the Volo, one of the other fishing villages on the coast. Try catching a boat to France or America. It's a better gamble than this.
And are there no police in France or America? No, Joao. We will not run any farther. We win here or we die here. But we will not run again.
You're fools, the pair of you. Well,
I'll watch the village for the arrival of the police, and I'll come and warn you.
Don't you come, Joao. Send Manuel or one of the other children.
No. Let me carry out my own part of the plan in my own way.
But for you, it's dangerous, and the child wouldn't be suspected.
No matter, Alejo. I should like to see Maria once more before. I'll come myself. There was nothing to do then but wait. My own part in the plan would come later. The village drowsed for the days and slept peacefully through the warm nights. And I spoke to old friends and carried on my life as usual. And I watched and waited. Now and then I glanced up to the gaunt head frame of the old mine and thought of Maria, of the years I'd lived for her and loved her, and the pain throbbed in my heart. Then on the morning of the third day, the Lisbon police arrived in the village.
Stop! Who is it?
Don't be a fool! I'm coming.
Police, Joao. Have they come?
Yes, they came in two cars an hour ago. Four of them, and the lieutenant in charge. They set up headquarters in the mayor's office.
Well, the waiting's over. There's no turning back now.
They're asking questions about Leo Peraza and the girl. They don't have your name, Mario. Only your description.
I know. That will make it easier when you talk to them. If they knew, they wouldn't understand why you were doing it.
I'm not sure that I understand why myself.
Tell me, Joao. Whoever really understands anything.
But this folly, madness.
If only madness can save us, then we have to be mad.
I can't stay. They may begin searching the countryside.
You'll go to them as soon as you get back to the village.
Yes. Leo, would you mind if I had a few words with Maria before...
Of course not. I want to check the guns.
Joao, you've been so good.
I did only what you asked. I think what you are doing is wrong... But the decision is yours.
Thank you.
I suppose I shall never see you again, Maria.
Who can say? None of us can ever know tomorrow.
I have loved you, Maria. I love you now.
And I love you, Joao. Now and always.
So be it, then.
Here's your gun, Maria. Yes. Shoot low and try not to kill them unless you have to.
Two against five. They'll bring up reinforcements.
It's madness. You've named it already. We'll see.
Go now, Joao. While there's time.
Yes, while there's time. God bless you, Maria, and take care of you. Goodbye.
This is Joao Pereira. He says he knows something about the two criminals.
What information do you claim to have?
The two whom you are seeking. I saw them.
When and where?
I was walking in the hills yesterday and came upon these two strangers.
So?
They stopped me and asked questions about the old mine.
Mine?
There is an abandoned mercury mine west of the village, Lieutenant Gargulo. According to his dossier here in the files, this man was a foreman there for 15 years.
I see. Very well, they questioned you. Then what?
When they left, they headed toward the mine. The Spaniard warned me to say nothing to anyone.
Oh. And what do you expect from Miss Pereira? A reward?
No, sir. I expect nothing. I'm only doing my duty.
Well, you're the first villager I ever met who thought cooperating with the police was part of his duty.
Some of us have different ideas of duty, Lieutenant. If you like, I can lead you to the entrance of the mine. We drove to the mine in the two police cars and stopped them at the foot of the incline below the entrance of the tunnel. I stayed at the cars while Lieutenant Gargulo and the two men started up the slope. They walked carefully, their guns in their hands. They hadn't gone 50 feet.
Well, you guessed it, old man. Yeah, up there, all right. Is there any other entrance to the mine?
The tunnel runs through the hill and opens on the other side. That's all.
No ventilation shaft?
No, only the 2 miles of the tunnel.
These mountain mines are all the same.
Sergeant, send two men around to cover the other end of the tunnel.
Yes, sir.
If they decided to fight, this won't be easy. They've got a machine gun and they're holed up.
Move the cars back. Take cover, all of you.
They don't have a chance in the long run, but one of them a woman. Crazy fool. I got a hunch we're not going to take this pair alive.
Romance, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, continues in just a moment. The music itself is the chief ingredient. Yes, the selection of tunes on Straw Hat Concert imparts a delightful Under the Stars next to the bandstand atmosphere to this 30-minute program of Light Airs. Tonight, over most of these same CBS stations, listen for the return of this popular melody show. Your seat will be right under the violin section if you have your imagination in tow, in full view of the stars, the clouds, and the village green crowds. Be listening for your first Straw Hat Concert just a little later tonight on CBS. And now for the second act of To Live Again as we return to Romance.
The opening shots had been fired. Maria and Alejo were trapped in the old mine, while Lieutenant Gaugoro and his men watched both ends of the tunnel. And so the first day passed, and the morning the second. And as Alejo had said, whatever happened now, there'd be no turning back.
What shall we do now, Lieutenant?
I'm going to try talking to him.
Won't do any good, Lieutenant.
You're probably right, but... Hey, Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
Flip a few shots at the tunnel while I make a run for those rocks there.
All right, sir.
That's enough. Hold it.
Hey, Peraza. We've got you buckled up in there. You can't get away. Come on out and surrender.
He is wasting his time.
And Peraza, another thing. If you kill one of my boys, you'll never live to see Spain. I promise you.
I have no desire to see Spain, amigo.
We'll starve you out in time. That's a slow death.
Very slow. We have a lot of food.
You're fools. You don't have a chance.
You shouldn't stand up like that.
Watch out!
Name of a thousand devils. You are right, old man. He is not reasonable.
You were not hit, Lieutenant?
No. And worse luck for you, Sergeant. Now, there's another odd thing. Either this Spaniard is the world's worst shot, or he's trying not to kill us.
Facing death himself, why should he worry whether he kills anyone?
I don't know. I don't understand any of this. And that girl, killing women is always a bad business. I wish the whole mess were finished, done with.
He tried nearly everything he could think of, and nothing had worked, and he was worried. It was almost time to play my last card. Almost, but not quite. Tomorrow, perhaps. I looked up toward the black mouth of the tunnel and thought about Maria and Alejo. I wondered what they were feeling, what they were saying, how they'd pass the night and face tomorrow's dawn.
What time is it, Alejo?
Barely dawn, querida. You know, you've slept nearly 3 hours.
You should have wakened me. You need to sleep yourself.
No. No, I wanted to be awake. I know the mind of that police lieutenant. We're about due for a dawn assault. He's tried nearly everything else.
How much longer do you think?
Oh, today, maybe. Joao didn't want to suggest it until they'd tried their own methods first. I only hope he doesn't lose his nerve.
He won't, Alejo. He loves me.
Yes, I know. Love is a strange thing sometimes.
Do you think it's strange that I love you?
No. I think it's a miracle. Come here, Carita.
I'm not sure I will. You waited a very long time to ask me.
But you've only been awake for 5 minutes.
Alejo, what is it?
But it's tear gas. Here, put on this mask, Querida. Hurry, be quick. Come on up and get me! Here's your gun, Maria.
You don't have a chance!
Here I am! Come on up the hill if you want me! Come on!
Good morning, Lieutenant.
Well, Joao, why aren't you up at the mine? You practically haunted the place for the last 2 days.
I went there. They told me you were here. If you will not think it presumptuous, I have an idea.
An idea?
It would not be very difficult to get men onto the rocks above the tunnel entrances. The overhang would protect them.
So?
A few well-placed charges of dynamite at those spots, and your troubles would be over.
Seal them up in the mine like rats.
What kind of a man are you? I wouldn't do that to a dog.
It would be the kindest thing in the long run.
The kindest thing?
But look at it this way, Lieutenant. As it is, you're forcing them to sit up there and starve to death, slowly, over weeks, perhaps.
They can't come out if they will, or he can send the girl out.
They won't, and you know it. They know they can't escape. They are deliberately trying to provoke you into killing them. Into making up their minds for them. Why not give them what they ask?
Sure. How much dynamite would be required?
There hasn't been a sound out of them for 10 minutes now. Not a shot.
They've probably gone as far back into the tunnel as they can. Name of a devil, there's no excuse for them. I told them what we were going to do. I offered them a chance to come out.
In my opinion, they're insane.
Who asked your opinion, Sergeant? Well, Joao, what's the story?
Everything is ready at the other end of the tunnel, Lieutenant. Dynamite's in place, and the wires are strung. I have the ends here.
And let's get it over with. Rotten business.
Are your men down off the face of the rock?
Yes, they're all in the clear. Get on with it, Joao. Connect those wires to the machine and let's fire the charge. Blast ourselves into perdition at the same time, no doubt.
Ready, Lieutenant?
Go ahead.
Maria. Maria.
Done.
Yes. It's done.
I think I'll have to answer someday, Joao, for listening to your advice.
Right and wrong are very difficult things to determine at times.
How long would it take for one to dig through that pile of rock?
With bare hands, a year. And they have air enough for 10 days.
Well, it's done. What's up in the village? Why are they ringing the bell of the mission?
Perhaps they sense there's been a death.
The devil.
Perhaps they're honoring a girl who was very much in love. Oh, it's also for the man, of course. But after all, he had no choice. I think the bell is mostly for the girl.
Take Maria. Here, on the contractor's mark.
All right, Alejo.
Right on the mark now.
How far, Alejo?
Oh, no.
How far have we dug now?
18 meters.
But you always said 10. It was on the map. 10 meters from the contractor's mark to the bank above the river. That's why they stopped driving this cross cut. They didn't want to break through to the surface.
Maria, Joao could have been lying, you know.
No. Why should he?
Perhaps he'd rather see you dead than living this kind of life. Love can take a strange turn sometimes.
No. He wouldn't. The map was wrong. He didn't know.
We've been here 8 days, Maria. The air's going bad. We haven't much time.
But we can't give up. We just can't.
To carry a plan so far and then...
No. Don't talk like that. There's only one thing we can do.
What?
Dig. Dig, Alejo.
All right.
As long as we're still alive. Dig! How far was it, Alejo, when you measured the last time?
23 meters.
So far... It's so hard to breathe. I'm so tired.
Oh, Carita.
Oh, we can't give up, Alejo. We just can't.
It's 25 meters, Maria. I don't know how much longer we can keep. Maria? Maria? Maria, are you all right?
It's no use, Alejo. I'm so tired. I can't go on.
Oh, querida, querida. Stay here and sleep for a while.
Don't leave me, Alejo. I'm going to die. I know it. Stay here. Hold me. I'm afraid to die alone.
If I stay, Maria, we will die. I've got to keep on so we can live again. Now you rest, Carita, and sleep. Oh, how far. How much farther. Oh, the air. It's bad. We can't keep on much. 27 meters now. How much farther than... The rock is caving. Maria! Maria, we've broken through! Oh, Maria! Maria, we're free! Maria. Oh, please don't let her be dead. Oh, not now. Come on, Carita. We've broken through to the surface. We'll be free. It's only a few feet to the river. We're going to live again, Carita. They'll think we're dead, and they'll leave us alone. Oh, there now, Maria. The air is fresh, then you're going to be all right.
Leo.
Oh, thank heaven.
What's happened? What are we doing on this? Leo. Look. The stars.
Come in, Joao. Have a seat.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
I'm completing my report. You're leaving in a few minutes.
Yes, I've heard.
Pardon me, Lieutenant, but this last item, final disposition, how should I fit it in?
Put, presumably dead by entombment as a result of police action. Make 2 copies for Madrid.
Yes, sir.
And get out of here.
Yes,
sir. Joao, I told you before that I had never had a stranger case on this one.
Yes, I remember.
Joao... I sent for you because of an amazing piece of information I've come across. The result of some inquiries around the countryside. It seems that girl came from this village.
Did she?
Her name was Maria Isabel Pereira. She was your daughter, Joao.
Yes.
Why did you do it? You came to me and turned them in. You led us to the mine. You made the plan, fired the charge that destroyed them. Why?
In order that they might live again.
You're out of your mind.
Possibly.
But had she been your daughter, Lieutenant, I think you would have done the same. You see, I loved her.
Romance, under the direction of Norman McDonald, brings you the greatest love stories of today and yesterday. Tonight, you have heard Kem Bennett's unusual story, To Live Again, specially adapted for radio by Les Crutchfield, starring Bill Conrad and Georgia Ellis with Herb Butterfield. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright and Lamont Johnson. Editorial supervision is by John Meston and musical supervision by Alexander Courage. Next week, Romance will bring you one of Jack London's most charming stories, The Marriage of Lit-Lit.
If you're an employer, you might have mixed feelings about having a stenographer like Millie around the office. Audrey Totter stars as Millie in CBS's new Monday night comedy series on most of these same stations. Take a tip from us and meet Millie, which follows immediately over most of these same CBS stations. Be listening next week when Romance brings you Jack London's delightful story, The Marriage of Lit-Lit. This is CBS, the Star's Address, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Romance, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 2nd of July, 1951, on CBS. Gunsmoke actors William Conrad and Georgia Ellis under the direction of Gunsmoke director Norman McDonald. And that wraps up this hour of Romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.